It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
WGR Sports Radio 550 presents.
I get sick of anyone that Josiah's learning not to rub his face on the microphone.
Sports Talk Saturday.
I already heard that sound from Geary with his stupid mustache once. I don't need it again. Stop it!
How many times do we have to teach you this lesson, old man?
You know whose mouths have been in that microphone?
Shh. Wait, in?
On.
Who's doing sports talk wrong?
On WGR.
Who's eating the mic?
Who's eating the mic?
What's going on?
All right.
I'll keep a distance.
Yeah, you're learning your lesson, that's all.
Sports Radio 550.
Another weekend here. Sports Talk Saturday. Derek Kramer, Joe Kelly, Evan's on the board. We're here with you for a beautiful 3 hours on a lovely weekend day here. And, you know, the mic open. It's anything that involves the microphones here has been a great open. With Nate rubbing his stupid mustache on there. Love you, Nate. That thing is horrible. to the one we just had there with TJ and Josiah. And Joe just made an offhand comment while that open was playing. About how he has accidentally eaten a mic before.
Yes, but in a very different scenario. It's when I play Xbox and I am playing a game like Madden, which is rage-inducing in a lot of cases, right?
I can never play against people, man.
See, that is where it gets really toxic, especially
when
you leave your microphone on and they leave theirs on and you're actually communicating with the other person. And, you know, you just start swearing, whatever, and then they hear it. So they start chirping back at you.
I've played enough sports to know where that goes.
Mm-hmm. It only goes into me, head in my hands, screaming into the microphone by the end of the game because it was...
That's not healthy. You should probably not do that anymore.
No. But that's, listen, that's why college football, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
That's why I'm building my legacy.
I was going to say, college football is doing a good job, though, of maintaining this new balance. College Football 25 coming out, maintaining a different balance of like, hey, we have brought back those lovable offline modes for you, so you don't have to play other people if you don't want to. No, look, I grew up where playing video games became normal as you were growing up.
Yeah,
but my enemy a majority of the time was the computer. It was not
the CPU. People. Yeah,
yeah.
On any Nintendo Wii game, I called it the computer. Like it was
against
me.
It's not other people.
Yeah,
other people were not my problem. The computer was. You stay out of this. Keep it between me and the computer.
Mm-hmm.
And then the computers went, oh, yeah, we're going to update Microsoft yesterday.
Yeah. Let me tell you, that was something. The blue screen of death.
Oh, my God.
That, listen, I'm glad I downloaded college football the days before yesterday. I pre-installed. Because if I went to do it yesterday, we would have been done for.
Mm-hmm.
So, or the night, the midnight that night when it would have just started downloading onto my Xbox. But... No, listen, I'm looking right now on Twitter. Team builders here, someone already made Monsters University, and the character's name is Mike Wazowski. So, listen,
we're getting that creativity back in college football that hasn't been there in, what, 11 years?
Yeah, I've been playing on my Xbox 360 2014. It's the last one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, it's insane. And the thing is, like, I have strayed away from a lot of sports games because they've kind of been cookie cutter all the same.
Yeah, that's one way to put it. They're literally just reskins with a different title. That's it. Yeah.
And the gameplay oftentimes ends up being worse than it should be, and they don't do anything about it. Like, even me, like with hockey, I love hockey. I to the chagrin of some people, apparently, talk about hockey during the summer months. Like, hey, you know what though? Can't play NHL. Can't play
when
can't
it's
play
out NHL. Of season. It's tough for me.
No. Like I can't. Like, it's not playable.
Oh, you can't
right
play
now.
It. Okay.
Like, it's just I can't do it. I can't pick up that game and play it because it's not enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not good.
It's when you have people who can get to the sweat level and then you have entry level and it's cross contamination and you can't pass it. I don't know.
Yeah.
NHL 12 was the last NHL I really played.
Yeah. No.
I'll download them when they're on sale.
Gameplay has not been good in like the newer systems mm-hmm. and that generation of games.
Two best sports games right now. College football might be getting up there. Have to play more to really know. But right now it's good. It's got a lot of promise.
Well, because the bar is so low.
Yeah.
That's the other thing.
EA Sports PGA Tour, the golf one,
mm-hmm.
solid. That's a good game. That's a good, like, it is rage-inducing when you, like, it's a three-click system.
So, like,
how
actual
you hit the ball.
Golf, rage-inducing.
Yes, but it is like real golf. So, like,
have you ever played a minute of golf in your life?
Yeah, if you shank something, like, you get mad, but you can make up for it.
Mm-hmm.
And you end up playing as an amateur and working way up through the pro tour. It's pretty interesting. MLB The Show, that's another good one. The Road to the Show. You play through the AA, AAA, and then you end up in the MLB. I made it to the MLB, and I was just a bench warmer. I was just...
Good job.
I was in the bullpen because I picked pitcher because I like the pitcher. But
yeah.
If you pick a fielder of any kind, center field, I picked the second time around. I was an active member of the Yankees. So
there you go. Good job.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's one of these things where like sports games are really so disappointing these days and seeing relatively good reviews right now about college football. I probably need to pick it up and actually play it.
You totally should. What system do you have?
I have a PS5.
Okay. So it is crossplay.
Okay.
So that's the thing now.
But again, I don't want crossplay. Other people,
listen,
get out of my life. When I'm playing video games, I either want to play with my friends or against the computer and that's it.
Hear me out. WGR, we make our own teams and we put them in a conference and play against each other.
I would be okay with that.
Like, that's like...
That'd
like
be a fun...
Zach, Josh... Evan, like all of us,
that would
like
be
put
a
it
fun
in there.
Little article to write up.
Yes,
I think,
and we could like mock it like it's an actual season with coverage, like stuff like that, right? Like that would be fun.
Get Paul to do a radio hit.
Yes, that would be fun.
So, no, like, but again, like for the most part, though, if I don't know you,
yeah, well, that's how I am.
I don't want to play against you.
I have my.
I don't even want to play with you on the same team if I don't know you, man.
Yeah.
I don't know you. Get out. Like, leave this between me and the computer. Get out of here.
Mm-hmm. See, the computer, though, gets frisky sometimes, and I don't like that.
That's what makes
it
a challenge.
You're not supposed to be smarter than I am, computer. Like, that's...
No, that it is supposed to be smarter than you. It's a computer.
Mm.
We're humans. We're not supposed to be smart.
It's just a plus if you're intelligent. It's a modifier.
Yes, it is. Throwing
that's
a little
it.
D&D talk
yeah,
in there.
It.
I like that.
Yeah, that's it.
It's a modifier.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, no. I don't know how much time I'll have to even play college football, though, because you mentioned the D&D angle.
Mm-hmm.
A couple weeks, I'm going heading out to Indy.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be fun.
Yeah.
Try to land an interview for you there when I'm out there.
Mm-hmm.
See, even when I'm going to be going on vacation, I'm going to try to do my job for you.
Much appreciated.
Look at that. we'll see what I can do there.
Yeah.
But at the very least, you'll hear from me there. All right. We had nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
Whole bunch of it right there. But overall, I'd say the opening banter here, meh.
Nah.
We didn't really stick musical.
No.
There have been some opening nonsense banters that have been a lot better than this. But the good news is we get the brain moving a little bit, and now we can move on.
Mm-hmm.
Buffalo Bills, training camp, mere days away. Days away! And who better to help us out with that than our buddy Bruce Nolan on the other side.
Yes.
Bruce has had himself... It is truly the return of the king. Because he came back and he was third nationally with sports podcasts with his own RSS feed.
Really?
Yes. It was awesome to see. Like, you love seeing people that you want to succeed actually get that, like, hit that success. And Bruce is a big time, long time friend of the show. And like when Nate was hosting it to when I've been taking over, We've always had Bruce, and we're going to have him on the other side of this break. We'll talk about that, his return, as well as the Bills' return, and plenty more here. Coming for you on Sports Talk Saturday, Derek Kramer, Joe Kelly, Evans on the board. We'll start things out right now, coming up next on WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
I think that there's turnover in the NFL every year. I mean, you're not expecting to have the same guys for the next 20 years and have the same staff and everything like that. So there's always going to be turnover. And as professionals, it's our job to go in there and make it work, right? So I'm not one to put predictions out there, but I'm fairly confident in what we got going in Buffalo. All the guys brought in are great dudes on and off the field, and they're picking it up. I thought OTAs ran really, really well, and everybody worked really well together, so I'm excited. And the best part is we're going to find out together. So tune in. We'll see.
Bills offensive tackle Spencer Brown there as training camp is ready to get started. And back on Thursday, Josh Schmidt and I were hosting the Extra Point Show, and we came to a similar sentiment. It feels a lot lighter this season or this training camp. The mood is lighter because, you lost a lot of players, so the expectations might not be as heavy as they usually are.
Yeah.
Which might actually allow me for once to not have to actually to really be able to enjoy it. Because the last couple of years, it wasn't about how it was how many, and it didn't matter. Like, let's get to the playoffs.
Yeah. But now you've got a lot to look for.
Now there's a lot of how that needs to be answered, and my curiosity is sated to the point where it's like, okay, let's see what we've got here. There's a lot that I need to look about. There's a lot that I need to think about. There's a lot to talk about with this team.
Mm-hmm.
And who better to help us with this than a longtime friend of Sports Talk Saturday, whether it's been with Nate on the lead or with me here now. But he had his podcast taken away. He comes back and becomes top three in the nation in all of sports podcasts, the return of the king, the Bruce exclusive, Bruce Nolan, on with us here on the Wester Hotline. Bruce, it's Derek, it's Joe. It's great to talk to you again, as always.
And it is great to have the opportunity to talk to you without having to go, how do we introduce this guy exactly? Like, he doesn't have a show, so it's just some random dude. Like, there's no reason he's really on here aside from the fact that I used to have him on here. We suspect he will have a show in the future. It's just a lot easier. In fact, if we're being honest, the number one reason why to have a podcast is so that you have a way to introduce me.
Bruce, one of the other reasons, though, is that you know ball and you talk ball, and you're willing to also throw in your shenanigans to it to make it real. And you know me, man. I am chaos incarnate with this gig that I have. The other day we were talking about and making fun of polo, the sport with horses and stuff. Mm-hmm. So, hey, real recognizes real, and especially when real is in the top three upon his return. So obviously everyone missed you, and it's great that you have yourself another platform, this time on your own feed.
Yeah, it's been hard to kind of take in. The response has been markedly better and markedly bigger than I thought it was going to be. I was obviously excited to kind of you know, get re-energized and get back into the space in a slightly different method than I had previously done. But I was definitely not expecting this. So I will just ride the wave, and I will just take it as it comes, and I will be excited and continue to view myself as blessed to be able to have an opportunity to do it.
And that's another thing that makes you as real and authentic as it gets, Bruce. And hey, great timing though too. Not that you coming back would have been any sort of poor timing, no matter what, with your own show again. But Bills training camp, 3 days away, and I just made mention of this that I'm feeling a lot easier going this time around with this team, because we need to see what they're capable of doing after losing a lot of pieces, and of course, still having heavy expectations. But from the outside, those expectations are a lot lighter than they have been in the past couple of seasons.
You know, I was listening to you talk about that, and I thought, man, that's a really great point. And I thought of something, just kind of kicking this idea around. It wasn't something that I had prepared, but I was thinking about your message that, you know, you felt different, and part of it was because there was a lot of new faces. And I thought, you know, it's funny. Anxiety really does abhor a vacuum, you know? And if there aren't a lot of questions around the team and, you know, things like positional battles and scheme changes, things like that, it's almost like your brain needs something else to be anxious about. So instead you start focusing on the, is this the year they get over the hump? But now this year, because of the injection of new things, right, new players, new schemes, you know, new faces at the coaching staff versus this time last year, you think, well, that's kind of where my attention can go. Right, instead of just focusing on, is this going to be the year they finally do it? Is this going to be the year they break through? Is this finally going to be the year we see a Super Bowl appearance from the Buffalo Bills? Instead, we get to focus on what's the defense going to look like under Bobby Babich, right? How is the offensive line going to shake out with the changes, right? What's an entire offseason with a new offensive coordinator going to look like versus an offensive coordinator who was operating kind of in the interim label? And so because we have these questions to ask ourselves and we're looking for validation and answers for these questions, it almost doesn't allow our brain to then focus on the same crap we were focusing on last year. And so it's almost like your anxiety kind of abhors a vacuum. And now because we have all these new shiny objects to focus on, that means that we don't then focus on the things that are, is this the year? And that makes us feel lighter. So it's almost like we're being distracted. Like you have a dog and you take him to the vet and you're distracting him with some shiny objects, or you're jingling your keys, right? While, so he's not focusing on the fact that he has to get a blood draw or things like that. This is kind of what it's like for us now. And it's nice to have something else to focus on.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like the butterfly trick on the babies getting their shots and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So just to dive in here. So you mentioned offensive coordinator and the role, you know, coming into his own system really for the first time this season. Already Curtis Samuel, it's been reported he's going to be essentially a running back and a wide receiver. Is that something that you foresaw happening? I mean, people compared him to Deebo Samuel speed-wise, not size-wise necessarily. But is that like, do you think we're going to see more interesting things like that with Joe Brady as the offseason progresses?
It's one of those things where, you know, we see it with coaches all the time where they bring in players that they're familiar with, right? We see a lot with head coaches when Sean McDermott first got here, Mike Tolbert, right? The guy who came in, we were all like, oh, why are you signing Mike Tolbert? Well, it's because he's comfortable with the system. He knows the terminology. He can be a bannerman for the message. And this was a very similar thing where Curtis Samuel was a player who was linked to the Bills early in the offseason because of his previous relationship with Joe Brady. And so I would be surprised if it came out and the Curtis Samuel role, you can't see me, I'm doing air quotes, but the Curtis Samuel role was drastically different with the Buffalo Bills than it was the last time he played a full season with a full offseason of prep with Joe Brady. The only difference is that at that time, Curtis Samuel had two other established wide receivers ahead of him in the pecking order. This time, he doesn't. And so if anything, you could be looking at a Curtis Samuel plus role, because you have Curtis Samuel doing all the things that Joe Brady feels comfortable he can do, taking carries out of the backfield, obviously being one of those things. I mean, it wouldn't shock me if you saw 40 to 50 carries this season from Curtis Samuel. I don't think that's insane at all. I don't think it's going to be a meaningful, like a significant, like, oh, well, he's basically RB2. I don't think any of those things, but if you saw 40 or 50 carries from Curtis Samuel, I would not be shocked over the course of 17 games. But in addition to that, you don't have DJ Moore and Robbie Anderson in front of you. So for me, it's like, is it Curtis Samuel plus? And the only thing that I think would stop him from getting, you know, a decent enough clip of carries is that idea, is the idea that we don't have two people in front of him, and maybe you need him to carry a little bit more of a target share, and maybe that means you don't want to hand him the ball as much. But especially if you have strong showings from Khalil Shakir or Marquez Valdez-Scantling or Keon Coleman, I think that you can expect to see a similar role, because that's probably why you brought him in.
Bruce Nolan joining us here on the West Her Hotline. Bruce, of course, I bring the idea up and you manage to put it into a more eloquent way of describing it, like the lower expectations allow you to focus on a lot of the details. Of course, one of the big things that is talked about is the wide receiver room. How different is it going to be? The offense, all these questions with the changing. And for me, I'm still looking at the secondary. You lost three pieces that so many Bills fans got to learn and love with Tre'Davious White, Micah Hyde, Jordan Poyer, all coming in at the same time with this group. And now all three of them are gone. Trade deadline, they managed to get themselves a Trey White replacement immediately with Rasul Douglas. Christian Benford's still there on the other side. Kaiir Elam coming in here in this next year, a prove it year for him. But also at safety, Mike Edwards, Taylor Rapp, Cole Bishop. These are names that we're going to be looking out for who emerges as the leadership in the secondary on the other side of the football that not many people are talking about.
Yeah, it really is one of those things where you struggle balancing the narrative, because if the farther away you get from the Buffalo Bills, like the more general your philosophy on sports, maybe you're an ESPN talking head, or maybe you're someone who, you know, tangentially follows the NFL, you're going to look at the names on that list and you're going to go, oh my goodness gracious. The Bills lost Tre'Davious White, Jordan Poyer, Micah Hyde. Holy cow. Like, how are they ever going to be able to replace that level of talent? And then the closer you get to the team, the less disruptive it looks like it's going to be as far as on-field talent, because we had unfortunately gotten used to playing without Tre'Davious White over the last couple of years due to injuries. We felt good about the play of Rasul Douglas, so we're like, okay, it's not a one-to-one translation. Also, he was beloved by the locker room and this fan base, so that's difficult. But Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer both, I think we can probably agree, had lost a little bit of a step in the last year. So the name drop is more significant than the talent drop. And so you think to yourself, okay, it's a good opportunity to refresh that defensive secondary, right? It's a good opportunity to get some new faces in there. The thing for me that I struggle going back and forth with is, on one hand, you're losing veteran knowledge, right? Even if Tre'Davious White, even if Jordan Poyer, even if Micah Hyde weren't the players that they were 3 or 4 years ago, that doesn't mean that their knowledge of the system and their ability to communicate with each other wasn't a massive advantage for this defense. And so you're losing a lot of that, and that makes you kind of anxious. On the other hand, you think about, if there is one position where Sean McDermott and staff have probably earned the benefit of the doubt, it is in the defensive secondary, right? Sean McDermott's ability to take people who would otherwise be selling insurance and put them in the defensive secondary and turn them into completely passable defensive secondary players is well noted. He did it in Carolina. He did it when he first got here. I mean, the Levi Wallace's and the Dean Jackson's of the world, and people who were late round picks, people who did not have exemplary physical tools. And so you're kind of balancing this. Well, we lost a lot of experience, but we didn't lose as much talent as the names would think we would lose. But then on the other hand, there's the whole Sean McDermott can kind of pull a rabbit out of a hat when it comes to defensive secondary, and that causes you kind of – I whiffle all the time on this. I waffle back and forth on how I feel about this all the time, and that's just one of the things that I'm most focused on in training camp for specifically that reason. It's because I can't decide which one of those things I just mentioned is going to carry more weight.
No, absolutely. Just taking a look at the defensive side, like you mentioned, you know, people who otherwise would be selling insurance, Sean McDermott can really whip them in the shape, right? And that's what he's been called, a defensive guru in ways. Bobby Babich, the new defensive coordinator, do you see that being more of a how do I put it, an Eric Bieniemy, Andy Reid situation where McDermott will still be calling play calls, but Babich will be assisting? Or do you think Babich will be taking more of more of the reins this coming season?
I do think that Bobby Babich is going to take more of the reins. I do think it's going to take a minute for that trust level to really, I mean, Sean McDermott, say what you will, whether you want to say he's a control freak. I prefer to use the word control enthusiast, right? He's a control enthusiast, right? Highly intense control enthusiast kind of coach. So I don't think it's going to be one of those hands-off, I'm an administrative-only coach at this point. And I don't think that Bobby Babich being a new defensive coordinator is going to get the same type of leash that you would have for someone like Leslie Frazier, for example, which, ironically enough, it should be noted that Leslie Frazier did, in fact, have play calling taken away from him at least once that we know of during his tenure as defensive coordinator. So if that was the level of control that Sean McDermott exhibited over someone who has been in this league and has been a trusted assistant for as long as Leslie Frazier, then I can't imagine it's going to be drastically different with a brand new Bobby Babich coach. Now, I do think Babich's influences being from other coaches, I think we have a tendency to assume that because he had a kind of his rise here with the Bills, that it's going to be similar in mindset to a Leslie Frazier. Like you immediately think, oh, it's a soft zone. They're going to run lots of cover four, lots of cover two. And some of Bobby Babich's influences from other teams are very much not rooted in that type of design system. And I think that having that marriage between his leanings and his energy and Sean McDermott's stability, experience, the ability to be able to, as we mentioned before, get lemonade from lemons. I think that it's going to be something to watch, but I don't think it's really going to be a hands-off because that's just not the kind of person that Sean McDermott is. So the degree of control, I think we could probably talk about, but I think that there's going to be some level of control there. I don't think it's going to be I'm going to be a purely administrative coach and you're just going to do your thing.
Bruce Nolan with the Bruce Exclusive joining us here on the Western Hotline. Bruce, let's go a little off script here. And I know you're very capable of doing this, and it's more or less something I've been thinking about the last couple of days. When it comes to the rivals of the Bills, everyone's chasing Kansas City. I feel like the Chiefs are on their own thing. I don't care how interesting they are. They're annoying to me. But when it comes to the other teams around the Bills, like the Ravens, the Bengals, other teams that should or could establish themselves as threats, who are the most interesting to you when it comes to teams along with Buffalo chasing Kansas City?
The Bengals are the most interesting team to me because they're the team that most recently has managed to knock the Chiefs off of that AFC pedestal. I think that's the thing that's most interesting to me, especially because last year there's a perfectly reasonable explanation as to why they weren't able to do and replicate that level of success that they had previously, and it's because Joe Burrow was hurt to begin the year, and then he was hurt in the middle of the year. And so I think it's one of those you almost kind of forgot about the Bengals. There is a forgot about who day. Like there's a line in there somewhere. There's a joke that I could make, and I'm circling it, but I can't really get there. But that's the team that intrigues me the most. And I think that when you have a team like the Bengals who has certain economic challenges around their owner and their team, and they're known for being a little stingy with a pocketbook, and you have players like T. Higgins who are probably going to play this year on the franchise tag and probably walk, which is very rare in the NFL that happens, they have a tendency to kind of do an all-in mindset. Like, this is our last hurrah. T. Higgins is here. We got one more year before we have to kind of break up the band a little bit. And that makes teams like that, with the returning health of Joe Burrow, I think that makes them dangerous. You combine that with the history of the team and their proven ability to do it, that makes them the most interesting non-Chiefs team to me.
Another one that I like to think about, because like there's still what I would call a tier below Buffalo and Cincinnati and another of those groups, is the LA Chargers. There's this weird aura about them. Like Jim Harbaugh is a really good coach. And at the same time, I don't know how high I want to put them in terms of my fascination or threat level, because Greg Roman's their offensive coordinator and he does nothing but sabotage the forward pass.
Yeah, the Chargers are a weird thing, because you have a quarterback that I think everyone can agree is a supremely talented player in Justin Herbert. You just signed him last offseason to a massive contract. He is your guy. And then you bring in a head coach with an offensive coordinator and offensive system that is very heavily run focused and has historically been run at its most effective with a less gifted or less accomplished passer of the football. You know, it was at its best when you had people who weren't throwing for 4,000 or 5,000 yards a year, right? You weren't going to get Tyrod Taylor, Colin Kaepernick, Lamar Jackson. Those weren't 4,000-yard passers, right? Those were dual-threat players who could really impact the game, and the quarterback run game was a meaningful part of the offensive success under Greg Roman. Well, now you get Justin Herbert, and you go, well, how's that going to marry? I mean, Justin Herbert's a perfectly mobile quarterback, but he's not the same level of athlete that a Tyrod Taylor, or a Lamar Jackson, a Colin Kaepernick are, and he's a different style of player than they've seen success with previously. You additionally come with Jim Harbaugh, who has every single year he was a head coach in the NFL, was right at the top as far as rushing attempts. And you see a perfect marriage between head coach and offensive coordinator when it comes to philosophy, but then you see a disconnect between the two of them and the quarterback. And that makes it super awkward, because are we going to see a brand new Justin Herbert, or are we going to see a brand new Greg Roman? And you go, I have a hard time imagining either of those things being true, which is why I'm with you. I have no doubt they'll win. They've won everywhere Jim Harbaugh's been. But are they going to be stylistically the same type of team that can then win in the playoffs and get to a Super Bowl?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I have family members that are Chargers fans, so that's a frequent conversation with them. So that hits a little close to home. I do have to ask, on the status of another team, an AFC East rival, the illustrious Jets with Aaron Rodgers at the helm. How far do you exactly see Aaron Rodgers taking this team? It's mixed reviews. Their strength of schedule really points towards them maybe winning 12 games or something along those lines, right? But I still think, you know, Aaron Rodgers is 40 years old now, I believe, right on the mark. So, and after coming off of an Achilles injury, which I'm currently in physical therapy for, it's not very easy. And I can imagine at that age, it's not. Where do you see them getting to?
The Jets question is really weird, because you're banking on a level of play from Aaron Rodgers that you haven't seen, not just last year, but the year before either. Like, his last year with the Packers wasn't exactly what you would call, you know, MVP caliber. And so it was still, you know, good quarterback play overall, but you start to wonder if maybe the situation we ran into with Tom Brady has kind of spoiled us a little bit and has made us think that maybe everybody can play into their early 40s and maintain the same level of play and production that they had in their mid 30s. And that's just hasn't proven to be true overall. And so for me, when I look at Aaron Rodgers, I think, are we sure we're willing to commit to that level of production? It's a similar conversation that we had with the Browns and Deshaun Watson, in the sense that when it's been 3 years since you've seen an elite quarterback play at an elite level, are they still an elite quarterback anymore? Like, how much sample size of the lack of elite play do you need before you start to get concerned? Like, we always have excuses. Well, he was off for a year. Oh, well, he was injured. Blah, blah, blah. But, like, did nothing happen in that time? Like, had he played in all those games, would we or would we not have started to see a decline? But because he didn't, we just assume that everything crystallized 3 years ago and didn't change at all since then. Like, I'm still the same guy that I was, right? I'm the same guy. Now, I know I haven't shown it in 3 years, but I'm still that guy. Are you? Are you sure you're that guy? And so, Aaron Rodgers, I mean, yeah, could he come out and be, you know, a top three, top five quarterback? Could he be the number one quarterback, which is what Mike Greenberg, ESPN, put on his, you know, massive video board for Get Up, right? Is he the number one quarterback in the NFL? If he's going to be that guy, then he should be showing something that we haven't seen in 3 years. And that's a hard bet for me to do, even if he wasn't hurt.
Bruce, of course, everything that's been going on here with the Bills, all these new storylines, everything else of the sort, with training camp here, I'm going to ask you two questions here. One, what is your most fascinating storyline or position battle, anything of the sort there? And two, I'm going to try to squeeze out of you the earliest Bruce Nolan prediction that I can about how the season is going to go overall. Like, record not needed for it, but like, how do you feel things will go for the Bills here heading into training camp?
The most exciting thing for me is the thing I've already mentioned, which is the defensive secondary. So in lieu of being able to say those same things all over again, for the interest of your listeners, I'm going to go to my second most exciting thing, which is running back usage. I want to see how much they trust Ray Davis and how early they trust him with those things. One of the Bruce-isms when it comes to preseason and training camp is that we have a tendency to focus a lot on preseason games on how someone's playing. And I know it sounds counterintuitive, but when and with whom you are playing is far more predictive than how you are playing. If you are playing absolutely lights out in the fourth quarter of the final preseason game, it doesn't matter. Like, you could be playing your lights out. It doesn't matter. You're still playing at the fourth quarter of the final preseason game. That's not good for your prospects of being able to make the team. And I think that when I see running back usage this preseason, this training camp, and I want to see, is the volume for James Cook, one of the things that we've talked about on the podcast and something I've kind of been thinking about out loud is, do we think James Cook is a more volume player than he showed last year? Or do we think he's a less volume player than he showed last year? What is it exactly that an entire offseason of work is going to do? Because Joe Brady was a bell cow guy. He had Christian McCaffrey. Christian McCaffrey got hurt when Joe Brady was there. He went right to the next bell cow. Like, he wasn't shifting around philosophies and having three running backs active and taking carries. Then at the very end of 2023, when he took over as interim, that's exactly what he was doing. He was splitting the load and not asking James Cook to pass block basically at all. You got a decent amount of carries, but you were not asking him to pass block at all. And you think to yourself, well, what if you trust Ray Davis to pass block and he's better carrying the ball than a 33-year-old Latavius Murray? Like, is that crazy? Like, what I just described, that you trust him to pass block and he's a better runner of the football than a guy who's already completely blown up the curves when it comes to running back ages. Like, that doesn't seem that crazy to me. And if that's true, what does that say about James Cook volume? If Curtis Samuel, as we mentioned before, is going to take 40 or 50 carries, what does that do with James Cook volume? So I think we all just kind of assume when we see the stat line that it's either going to stay the same or it's going to get more. And I don't know if that's necessarily true, but I'm keeping my eye on that. That's my first answer. In regards to prediction, my prediction is that the Buffalo Bills will continue to be a really good football team, and that people who are trying to say that Stephon Diggs made Josh Allen are going to be disappointed, because that was a discussion with Terrell Owens, and it was a discussion with Randy Moss, and it was a discussion with a lot of elite receivers. And the truth is that when those elite receivers left those quarterbacks were still really good. Wide receivers don't really make quarterbacks. They make quarterbacks' lives easier. But the fact of the matter is, there aren't a lot of examples of quarterbacks who lost elite receivers and then suddenly they weren't good anymore. People said the exact same thing when Calvin Johnson left Matt Stafford. And it just doesn't end up being the case. And I don't know why we continue to go down this road narratively when there isn't a lot of backing data on that. But the people who, once again, drunk at the well of the Stephon Diggs made Josh Allen, all the stat lines about Josh Allen without Stephon Diggs running its way around, those stat lines are going to look a lot different. That's my prediction for the Buffalo Bills for 2024.
Bruce, thank you as always. Love having you on. I love being able to catch up with you and talk some ball here. And I'm at least super happy to once again say, let the people know where to find out what you're doing.
Well, I am thrilled to be able to say this. I'm thrilled to be able to say that my show, The Bruce Exclusive, drops every Thursday, wherever you find your podcasts. And you can literally just type in The Bruce Exclusive, wherever you search your podcast, and you will find my show. I am excited to be back. It's wonderful to be able to be part of this space again. The reception has been unreal, and I am thrilled to be back here on Sports Talk Saturday talking to you folks.
Dude, we're always happy to have you. I mean, you were in limbo with not having a show, and you still joined us for the draft. So, you know, I'm always going to be happy to have you on here, and I'm always going to shine the Bruce signal there for you. You may not be Bruce Wayne, but you are Bruce Nolan. And to me, that is a damn big difference, because I know you're going to be there.
I appreciate you, man.
That's Bruce Nolan joining us on the West Her Hotline. And, hey, like he said, wherever you get your podcasts, I only did it to prove a point. I'm already subscribed to him, but I opened a new tab, went on to Spotify, and I typed in the Bruce exclusive just to make sure that everyone knows that it took 3 seconds. So there you go.
3 seconds.
Exactly.
As well. Yeah, it's backed up now. It's backed up.
We can let you know it is that easy to catch Bruce, and he does a great job. And mm-hmm. It's not just with his Bills insights. It is, you know, his slice of life that he throws in there.
Yeah.
He'll throw in musical numbers. So mm-hmm. That's something you would definitely love as well, Joe.
And yes.
So if you're not
part of the people. You had me laughing on the show.
Yeah.
The selling insurance comment
yes.
had me going.
Yeah, that's right. You mm-hmm. turned your mic off and you started laughing. but Bruce is a great guy. I love talking to him. And I love the success that he's having as well with his own feed. And a little bit more autonomy now of what he can and will talk about. So even
it's
more so.
Thing.
Even more so. Like, not that he didn't already. But it's good to hear from Bruce. It's good to be able to know that he's got himself another big-time show and that the reception has been greater than he was even prepared for. So, hey, if there's people that you got to talk to, for me, one of them always on the top of my list is Bruce Nolan. All right, let's get a break. And we turn the other way here, back to pure shenanigans, because the Booty Cheek of the Week is up next.
Yes.
You haven't been here for a week now, so
yes.
you want to catch up on this.
I got to do the booty cheek this
yes.
week.
Yes.
Yeah. I got to get one, yeah.
I
have one.
Oh, I was going to say.
But, yeah.
I would hope you'd have one after missing a couple weeks there. Dan is just staring at us. He just dabbed. Yeah, whatever. You know what? We'll end the segment with a dab here. You're listening to WGR.
Oh, yeah. It's that time.
It's that time. It's always a good time. And this is the Booty Cheek of the Week on a Sports Talk Saturday. Derek and Joe Callie here with you on a Saturday where we make fun of things. And you know what? I've got this at really nothing else other than... Yeah, I don't know what I've got this week.
No.
Mostly because... Nothing in sports is really happening. Like, yeah, there's dumb takes flying back and forth. Like, Thursday, I think, was the worst of it. like, because of that one NFL executive calling Josh Allen one of the more overrated players in the league. But at this point, I'm just tired of it. Like, one exec said it. And, you know, first of all, Hard Knocks following the Giants this year in the offseason.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, give us more of that content. Second of all, I said this on Thursday. Them freaking out about Saquon Barkley makes me think I could actually be an NFL exec. Like, maybe I do actually know more than some of these guys. So for an NFL executive anonymously to say that Josh Allen's overrated, okay, cool. They're just like us.
Yeah.
In that moment.
Mm-hmm.
Perfectly fine. Yeah. I do not need to disgrace this show more than it already is by playing the Craig Carton clip. I don't need to do that.
No. No.
I want to salvage whatever dignity I have left. So we're not going to do that.
I'm going to go a different direction.
Yes. Let's see what you've got.
Microsoft. That is mine.
Microsoft. Obviously a big deal yesterday in the news.
Yes.
In the newsroom. How hard was their job out there yesterday?
Okay, so yesterday morning, I was producing a new morning over on WBEN.
So you were working
station.
Down the hall, okay, yep.
That show was heavily dependent on News Boss writing scripts, putting the clips in.
No, you got to.
We were playing.
You got your job affected.
That was 4:30 in the morning walking in here.
That's already bad, Dave.
And I say, you know, I'm an Apple product guy. I've always been. My laptops have just. My phone, whatever. I walk in, I say, good morning. Lucas Buckley out there. Good friend goes.
Inspiration of this segment, by the way, Lucas Buckley.
Yes. He goes, is it? I'm like, okay, you're never, what's going on? He said, our entire system is down. I'm like, what? So yeah, they were playing audio off Twitter, like clips from the RNC, all that stuff, whatever, right? It was a little hectic there for a little bit, but then all of a sudden, magically, the servers opened up and everything loaded back up. So by the last couple hours, it was back on track. But
you know,
Microsoft is the booty cheek of the week. If you're gonna do that, do it. Like, just take everything down. Don't let it get fixed. You know,
the thing is, my primary job, I work at a bank, and some banks were down. Why couldn't y'all hit mine? I didn't want to work that day. I could have came in here, helped out Zach. You know, like, just to do it at that point, you know, like, why not give me a day off, too? I would have liked that. I would have liked the three-day weekend that I work every day of.
Yeah, I know.
Because here I am sitting at work.
That's how I am looking forward to the weekend, and then I realize I work Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, what am I looking forward to?
What the hell is the point of this?
Mm-hmm.
What the hell is the point of weekends? Hey, you know what? But that's the thing. We have fun doing this job. So, who cares? All right. What do you say we get back into it?
Yeah, I'm ready to talk. Listen, we've been talking a lot of Sabres and Stanley Cup Final and everything like that. I am beyond ready to go with the haters for the Bills, you know?
Well, let's open it up with this then. Starting here and going forward. What new Bills storyline is the most interesting to you? 803-0550 is the number to call. As we have a team with plenty of new beginnings and a second window having been opened.
Yes, letting the draft through, the breeze.
Oh, you should have been here on Thursday for the Extra Point Show when Josh and I were dissecting the anatomy of windows.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that are you talking about the different kinds, how they opened up, like all that? Yeah.
Yeah. Or like, you know,
the ones you can't put an air conditioner in.
But like the ones that like have the top window and the bottom window, and like the bottom one is closed, but now the top one is open.
Yes, and it's and always like it's open, that down. Little crack up at the top. You can never get it to fully close.
But now it feels weird,
but
the window's open.
And you can't lock it because then they're never lined up properly.
A caller even called in saying, no, the screen door is what's closed. You can still go through it. It'll feel weird.
My friend did that last summer. He ran through a screen door by accident.
Who hasn't?
Yeah.
You know, we've all done this.
It's kind of funny. But right. Yeah, we're off.
Let's get this going. What new Bills storyline or new addition to this team intrigues you the most? Give us a call. You can tweet at us at DerekKramer49 or at @TheBuffalonian_. Did I get that right?
Yes, that is going to be changing too, but we'll get to that
later. Yeah, we'll get to that later. That, we'll make that a future drill problem. But you're listening to Sports Talk Saturday right here on WGR. Oh, yeah.
It's that time.
It's that time. It's always a good time. And this is the booty cheek of the week on a Sports Talk Saturday. Derek and Joe Cali here with you on a Saturday where we make fun of things. And you know what? I've got this at really nothing else other than... Yeah, I don't know what I've got this week.
No.
Mostly because nothing in sports is really happening. Like, yeah, there's dumb takes flying back and forth. Like, Thursday, I think, was the worst of it. like, because of that one NFL executive calling Josh Allen one of the more overrated players in the league. But at this point, I'm just tired of it. Like, one exec said it. And, you know, first of all, Hard Knocks following the Giants this year in the offseason.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, give us more of that content. Second of all, I said this on Thursday. Them freaking out about Saquon Barkley makes me think I could actually be an NFL exec. Like, maybe I do actually know more than some of these guys. So for an NFL executive, anonymously, to say that Josh Allen's overrated, okay, cool. They're just like us.
Yeah.
In that moment.
Mm-hmm.
Perfectly fine. Yeah. I do not need to disgrace this show more than it already is by playing the Craig Carton clip. I don't need to do that.
No.
I want to salvage whatever dignity I have left. So we're not going to do that.
I'm going to go a different direction.
Yes, let's see what you've got.
Microsoft. That is mine.
Microsoft. obviously a big deal yesterday in the news.
Yes.
In the newsroom. How hard was their job out there yesterday?
Okay, so yesterday morning, I was producing a new morning over on WBEN.
So you were working down the hall. Okay, yep.
That show is heavily dependent on News Boss writing scripts, putting the clips in.
No, you got a.
We were playing.
You got your job affected.
That was 4:30 in the morning. Walking in here,
that's already a bad day.
And I say, you know, I'm an Apple product guy. I've always been. My laptops are just my phone, whatever. I walk in. I say, good morning. Lucas Buckley out there. Good friend goes.
Inspiration of this segment, by the way, Lucas Buckley.
Yes. He goes, is it? I'm like, okay, you're never, what's going on? He said, our entire system is down. I'm like, what? So, yeah, they were playing audio off Twitter, like clips from the RNC, all that stuff, whatever, right? It was a little hectic there for a little bit, but then all of a sudden, magically, the servers opened up and everything loaded back up. So by the last couple hours, it was back on track. But
you know,
Microsoft is the booty cheek of the week. If you're going to do that, do it. Like, just take everything down. Don't let it get fixed, you know?
The thing is, my primary job, I work at a bank, and some banks were down. Why couldn't y'all hit mine? I didn't want to work that day. I could have came in here, helped out Zach. You know, like, just to do it at that point, you know, like, why not give me a day off, too? I would have liked that. I would have liked the three-day weekend that I work every day of.
Yeah, I know.
Because here I am sitting at work.
That's how I am looking forward to the weekend, and then I realize I work Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, what am I looking forward to?
What the hell is the point of this?
Mm-hmm.
What the hell is the point of weekends? Hey, you know what? But that's the thing. We have fun doing this job. So, who cares? All right. What do you say we get back into it?
Yeah, I'm ready to talk. Listen, we've been talking a lot of Sabres and Stanley Cup Final and everything like that. I am beyond ready to go with the haters for the Bills, you know?
Well, let's open it up with this then. Starting here and going forward. What new Bills storyline is the most interesting to you? 803-0550 is the number to call. As we have a team with plenty of new beginnings and a second window having been opened.
Yes, letting the draft through, the breeze.
Oh, you should have been here on Thursday for the Extra Point Show when Josh and I were dissecting the anatomy of windows.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that are you talking about the different kinds, how they opened up, like all that? Yeah.
Yeah. Or like, you know,
the ones you can't put an air conditioner in.
But like the ones that like have the top window and the bottom window and like the bottom one is closed, but now the top one is open.
Yes, and it's and always like it's open, that down. Little crack up at the top. You can never get it to fully close.
But now it feels weird,
but
the window's open.
And you can't lock it because then they're never lined up properly.
A caller even called in saying, no, the screen door is what's closed. You can still go through it. It'll feel weird.
My friend did that last summer. He ran through a screen door by accident.
Who hasn't?
Yeah.
You know, we've all done this.
It's kind of funny. But right. Yeah, we're off.
Let's
off
get this going. What new Bills storyline or new addition to this team intrigues you the most? Give us a call. You can tweet at us at DerekKramer49 or at @TheBuffalonian_. Did I get that right?
Yes, that is going to be changing too, but we'll get to that later.
Yeah, we'll get to that later. We'll make that a future drill problem. But you're listening to Sports Talk Saturday right here on WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Nor Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.